Hi, it's Karen Webster from Paymus.com, and welcome to Topic TBD, our weekly show about a topic that's in the news and also newsworthy. Today, I'm joined by Brendan Howell, the COO of Dropit. Hey, Brendan, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Karen, pleasure. Nice to be here.
So today's topic is sports, and we're at this very interesting confluence of sports. We're playing just about every sport imaginable now. We're playing baseball, football, hockey, basketball, soccer. I'm sure many more I haven't mentioned, but it's sports today with a commerce twist, and that's the topic of conversation. Dropit is a mobile app that gamifies the purchase of an item, auction style, on the Jumbotron over 60 seconds. The more time that goes by, the more the price drops, and the first person to swipe gets the item at whatever that low price is. So I guess my first question, Brendan, is why are you doing this, and why do people want to do it?
Number one, it's fun. I
mean,
it's,
okay.
It's exciting. Like, you know, we looked at a normal auction process, and you know, auctions are great, but there's kind of four things that just make them quite boring. One is every time you bid, the price goes up. So you're essentially losing more money every time you bid. The other thing that makes it boring is auto bids. So you can be bidding against someone who's not even there. They can be out playing golf. They're not actively participating. So it takes a lot of the fun away from it. The other thing that makes auctions boring is set prices, like minimum prices. So it takes away the fantasy that you can get a bargain on that item, you know, if it doesn't go below a minimum. And then the other thing is most of the activity happens in the last few minutes, a few seconds, and everyone waits to the end, and there's a big flurry at the end. So we looked at that and we thought, let's turn it up on its head and take all those boring bits away and then make the thing go backwards so the price drops. And we just found it super, super sticky and super exciting. Like, the engagement metrics are ridiculous. They're kind of off the charts. And you know, we've tested it a lot, over 388 of these live events. And you know, we've proven that people do love this style of commerce.
So Brendan, let me ask you a question about, so the auction strategy I think is interesting. I mean, you make a good point that most of the time, auctions go up and you feel a little bit online sometimes that you're bidding against yourself because there isn't any, you know, real interaction. But why a sporting venue? Why did you choose that as the environment for bringing this concept to life?
Well, sports actually chose us, funnily enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we actually developed the concept. We didn't develop it for sports initially. We just developed it as a fun way for people to interact with brands, way for brands to get data on who's interacting, and then a way for brands to re-engage the people who are, you know, engaging in their product or service. So we developed it in New Zealand and tested it over 5-6 months, got the metrics right, proved the assumptions, and then came to the US. So I came to the US at the start of 2015, for February, and landed in Rocket Space. It's a, you know, sort of an incubator there. And a buddy of mine actually went to a draft party at Levi Stadium around that time and told the 49ers about it. And they said, oh, can we meet the guys? Can you, we actually apply this to the, you know, live sporting event? So we spent a few months working with the Niners and testing on the video boards and figured out that it works really well in that environment. It looks quite spectacular when you've got a premium item or service or an experience, you know, ticking down over 60 seconds on huge video boards. Mm-hmm. Like, it really gets people's hearts racing. So it was one of those kind of happy coincidences. And I think part of the reason that sports is really embracing it is we came from outside the dogma of sports. Yeah, so we created something completely fresh. You know, we weren't sitting in a sporting arena or stadium trying to figure out how do we engage people. Yeah, so we've totally come from left field and created something that seems to be having some quite major impact.
So what are they getting out of it? Why are they so intrigued by this idea in their venue on the Jumbotron, which I'm sure is probably pretty exciting to watch over a minute. Certainly better than watching the candid shots of people sitting in the crowd.
I mean, the funny thing is, everyone still loves to see themselves on the video board, so that's part of what we've wrapped into the platform. So one of the big things is these days, you know, you get a break in a sporting event, an ad comes up on the video board, and these days it's a trigger to disengage.
Right.
Oh, great, the commercials are on. And, you know, get a hot dog, go to the bathroom, get a beer, or check out cat videos on Facebook, right? So they're doing everything. But, I mean, there's some entertaining cat videos. No, I won't lie. But they're doing everything but engaging with the sponsor's message. And so we saw that as an ideal opportunity to actually reconnect people. So a lot of major sporting venues these days spend a lot of money on infrastructure, so they've got a lot of connectivity in the venue. They've got, you know, that's systems for cellular connectivity. They've got really strong Wi-Fi systems. But the problem is that people are using those to disengage and connect with things outside the venue. So, you know, being that there's a lot of connectivity there, our platform works really well because we can connect the people to the video board, to the sponsor message. So essentially we connect the fan with their mobile, the video board, the sponsor message, and the sporting team on the day and create an activation that's truly immersive. People actually, so we make people want to engage with that message, not feel like they have to engage. And the teams love it because we get a ton of data off the back of it. So one issue they have is a lot of major teams don't actually know who's in the venues these days.
Mm-hmm.
Even with season ticket holders, like we're dealing with on the MLB teams and the really big ones, I've got around 31,000 season ticket holders. But on average, those season ticket holders only attend 25% of the games.
Right.
So they resell their tickets on the secondary market, and it leaves a big gap in the knowledge of who's in there. And so, I mean, they don't know who's in there for a start. And then also, they don't know, sponsors don't know who's engaging. I mean, if they run a promotion or an engagement or an activation and venue, it's very hard for them to measure who's actually engaging. And so we can actually do that. We can measure who's engaging, what they're engaging with, how long they're engaging for, whether that translates into value outside the venue. So there's a wealth of data. And the data is what really gets the teams and sponsors excited. And the entertainment piece and the engagement and the, you know, immersive experience, that's the first thing that gets them interested. But, you know, their ears really prick up and they get a taste of the data.
So how many items do you auction over the span of a game? So over the 3 hours that people are sitting in the stadium watching the 49ers lose, I'm a Patriots fan, I should say. How many items do you auction?
It all depends on, you know, the sponsor and the team. And sort of, you know, how many spots I've got available to, you know, how much space I've got available on the video board. So, like, I mean, baseball's a great one because it's a long game and there's a lot of breaks. You know, so we can do a number of them. I mean, you can do 7, 8 in the game. Some of the major games, you might want to do 1 or 2, just depending on, you know, the space that's available, really. But they don't all have to be on the video board either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can run them off the video boards, you know, and everyone still gets to participate. But the video board just adds an extra wow factor to it because it means that the people that aren't playing actually, they get to witness it and you get to share in the excitement.
So what kinds of – this is an alternative method of advertising. I mean, I think you're using this auction concept turned on its head in these venues to do advertising of a different sort. What kind of brands are particularly attracted to this new kind of commerce/advertising opportunity?
Well, what we're finding is basically any brand that wants to connect with a consumer. I mean,
that's about everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really broad. The key is to tailor the option to the audience. So I'll give you an example. Like, you know, we're working with an insurance company, and insurance is not necessarily that sexy, but they still want to engage, you know, all the fans. And so to have a drop option on, you know, cheap insurance may not necessarily get the crowd excited.
Right.
What may get them excited is if a couple of the players come over to your house and cook a barbecue. You know, so we set a price on that to a drop option, and the proceeds from that go to the team charity. So, you know, we look to create experiences with the brands that don't have a necessarily desirable, or, you know, super desirable product. But then there's the car companies working with, you know, Vincent from Mitsubishi, obviously, Ducati.
Yep.
I mean, you know, all these companies want to connect with consumers. And so we work with them to create either really cool products or create, you know, really interesting experiences. And we often tie the experience to charity because it's a win-win for everybody.
Right. Right. So how do the brands, you talked about lots of data and you've run a number of these live events, and so you have some data. I want to ask you about the consumer engagement piece in a minute, but let's talk about the ROI for the brands. And the Ducati example, I think, is a good one because you mentioned in some of the materials that I reviewed that, you know, a $15,000-ish Ducati sold at one of your sponsored auctions for a little less than $4,000. Pretty good discount, but no one's ever going to be able to buy a Ducati for $4,000 again unless it's used. So what's the ROI for Ducati on that particular event?
Well, with the sponsors, we coach them. We say expect to get $0 for that item. Right? So it's not about getting any return for that item. That item's promotion to create engagement.
Right.
But instead of the brand running a promotion and giving something away, are actually selling it and the getting purchase intent data from people who are actually interested in that item. But it's, again, we turn that, you know, the whole sales model on its head, like we do with a lot of things in our business. And the benefit to the advertiser is getting that purchase intent data from all the people who didn't win.
Can you go back to Ducati, or do you provide a mechanism for helping them measure the impact of 31,000 people or 20,000 people sitting in an arena watching this, actually taking a step in investigating Ducati and wanting to take the next step and buy one?
It's actually built into the platform. So
okay.
I'll give you a really good example with Mitsubishi. So, so you mentioned the Ducati. So at the spring training, so that was day one. Day two, we ran Mitsubishi Outlander Sport. That was a little over $22,000 retail vehicle. Now that sold for $11,850. So they got 50% of the cash back for the item.
Yep. Yep.
And then everyone who didn't win instantly received an offer through the platform. It's a $50 gas card if you go and test drive that Mitsubishi Outlander Sport.
Oh, wow.
So we drove the consumers into the retail environment, and they saw a 5x uplift in sales in the following 7 days. So it's like a direct example of measurable return on investment.
Interesting. So let's talk about who is actually downloading the app and how you're getting them to do that. I you know, it's always hard to get consumers to download more apps. They often don't want to do that. And the challenge, I think, for you is one of the statistics that you cited earlier, is that even season ticket holders don't go to every game. People who aren't season ticket holders maybe go to one or two games a year. So you're constantly having to get a fresh new batch, if you will, of consumers downloading the app. How do you get them to do that?
So we work closely with the teams to encourage downloads, like with the partnership with the Suns. We've got a lot of activity through their platforms, like we're sending, we've got adverts in their mobile app, on their website. We're doing social pushes, we're doing push notifications through their platform, and we do announcements in the arena as well. So pre-game is an announcement and a full LED takeover saying, download, drop it, come in for half time. We've got a drop auction coming out from this, Kia. So that encourages the downloads, but we also run auctions off game days as well. So come and download the app. They can participate in auctions outside the venue. So we certain auctions are geofenced just to the venue to encourage people to actually attend the games and the geofence. And other auctions we can run off game day. But then, as we get more and more teams, you can be you can be like a Phoenix Suns fan, download the app at a Suns game, and then be at a Diamondbacks game, and we can run them in that venue as well. So it's the same app. You can use them in different venues. So and that also helps us to build a profile on the user to see what they may be interested in. We can feed that back to the teams. We've run these auctions, and these ones aren't showing very promise, but these ones, a lot more people are interested in them. So maybe we should turn that up. And it can help them with their planning for their game day entertainment as well. So once someone gets the app, there's a lot of activity outside that they can participate in.
So what is the profile of the typical Drop-It user? Is there a typical Drop-It user?
Anyone who wants a bargain.
So everybody who doesn't want a bargain.
He likes a bit of excitement. The skew is, it's really even male-female split, funnily enough, but it's slightly heavier on millennials. So, we're just over 55% millennial users, which is encouraging, because millennials are notoriously difficult to pin down.
Right.
I know we've got a couple work with us, so we've got some inside knowledge. But, it's really interesting because the product applies to so many different sort of, retail consumer products and services. So, we've done everything on there from pizza vouchers to cars. To a student, pizzas, it's like nectar from the gods. someone who's just got a few bulbs, they might want a car. So, it's really varied. It's almost like saying, who uses the internet?
Right. What is the most interesting thing you've auctioned, and what made it interesting? I mean, you've given the Mitsubishi example, we've got the Ducati example, you've alluded to insurance sponsoring an experience at a fan's home. What in your mind kind of tops the, this was really cool and delivered a lot of interesting value chart?
I mean, I think vehicles seem to, because they're a high ticket item, but there's the potential that they could go very, very, very low, because the price doesn't stop. That's one of the rules of the game is, it can be a $30,000 vehicle, but you could get it for $1,000. So that really kind of ups the ante and gets people excited. We were nervous when we were in the first car. We just didn't know how it was going to go.
Right.
But they seem to go really well. And like I said, because it's such a varied audience. I mean, even the things that seem to go exceptionally well are gift cards.
Really?
Or prepaid credit cards, because people are basically buying cheap money.
Right.
So if you get a $100 gift card, just say Macy's, and the price drops to $60-$70. Now you've got a 30-40% discount on that cash. That's still $100 cash to spend that Macy's, and you may go and get a 50% off sale. You're not excluded from using their card at their sale. So the gift cards work really well. And they're a really sort of popular mass item.
What's the typical length of an auction?
They vary. Like there's it just depends on who's there on the day, really. And, you know, if they're at a sporting event, if they're outside an event, if they're at a charity where, you know, they've had a few beers and they want to show up to their friends. Like, you know, there's a 3-second delay we built into the platform. So you've actually got to hold your finger on the screen for 3 seconds on a button, and that's like a safety switch that charges the little ball. And then in that flashing yellow, you swipe up through the price when you want to buy. And, you know, so that's part of our engagement piece to measure. It's irrefutable engagement. We've got, you know, 2,000 people in the venue sitting there with your finger on the button staring at your brand.
Right.
Yeah, like we wanted to go to brands and go, how do we prove that people are engaged? Like ads flashing by the screen, you just don't have people watching them. Yeah, you know, so, you know, it's a ton of interest. A ton of interest in this. It's, yeah, I mean, it's a hard one to answer, really. Yeah, we'll learn more as we go by.
So for example, on the Mitsubishi car, how long did that auction last?
That one went for just over 30 seconds.
Wow. So not didn't even get down to the wire.
No. I mean, when we first built the platform, because we put that 3-second delay in, we had a couple of auctions that went after 1 second. And we're like, oh, no, what's going wrong here? So we went back and looked at the platform and you know, trying to figure out what had happened. And what it was, a lady had figured out, if she held her finger on the screen where the button was going to appear, it actually charged. It was like a bug when we first developed the platform.
Wow.
She was winning all these auctions, but you know, she was saving a few bucks or something. And she refused to update the app because she had the advantage over everybody else.
Wow.
So it's really interesting to learn the psychology of people wanting to win. Like, it's strong.
So yeah, because everyone, I mean, to your point, who doesn't want to bargain? People like to win. They get kind of riled up in the crowd. There's a lot of adrenaline. Let's talk a little bit about the financial model. So there are a lot of parties here that need to be and certainly want to be compensated. You have the teams, the venue, you guys, of course, the brands. How does it all work, and who sets the framework for monetizing the drop it experience?
That's a good question. So we set the framework for monetizing, and basically what we do is we join forces with a team. So a team is really kind of our main partner in these transactions. And then the team will go out to their sponsors and sell this as like an extra package. It's like inventory that they didn't have previously.
Right.
So their
right.
partnership team will go out and sell it to the sponsors and go, hey, we've got this really cool engagement piece. It's an experience, and you know, we get some really good purchase intent data off the back of it. And so the sponsor comes in, then we work with the team of the sponsor to make sure we create, you know, really interesting, engaging experiences. And then we basically split the revenue that we create with the team. So it doesn't cost the team anything. We help them to create incremental revenue. The sponsor pays, and then we share in the proceeds.
Interesting. So do you envision, you know, you talked about inventory, that they have spots, and, you know, they're allocating spots based on the yield and what sponsors are willing to spend and so forth. Has Drop-It become one of the higher priority premium priced experiences yet? Are you there yet, or is that what you aspire to be, so that you have more of a premium model versus I've got a couple of extra things, a couple of extra slots left over, and I'm going to put this in?
Yeah, we're actually being used by teams to help them sign deals now.
Oh, really? So, interesting.
Yeah, if they're coming to renewals or they're actually wanting to sign, you know, new sponsors, they go, hey, we've got this, you know, and we can provide a little profit, we can provide, you know, a really engaging experience, and you know, get you some really good purchase intent data off the back of it, so you can measure the return you're getting, and you can actually connect with our fans inside and outside the venue. So because a lot of teams want to deliver value to sponsors outside the arena as well, outside the venue as well.
Right.
And that's just becoming more and more prevalent. So, you know, the platform does that. You know, it's just part of the foundational design. So, yeah, it's really interesting. Like, we've spent a lot of time developing this platform and a lot of testing. And, you know, it's a smaller event. And now the bigger teams are starting to see the value in it. So, the results are really encouraging.
What was the hardest part of getting started?
Probably just proving out the concept, because it's such a different concept.
Right.
You know, we'd already proved it in New Zealand, and then we came to the US, and, you know, the thought process was, oh, that's nice, but we want to see it running in the US. And so, you know, initially it was a little bit of a slow road, you know, to get that the proof of concept running here. But as soon as we did, you know, the teams really started to jump on board and quickly, because, you know, they're all in a battle, but it's a competitive industry. Like, sports is competitive, and the business
right.
of sports is competitive as well. You know, they're
right.
all trying to sell essentially the same thing, the different sponsors.
Right.
You know, they're trying to sell that association with their sporting franchise to help the sponsor increase their profile, you know, increase their sales. So anytime they can get like a new piece of inventory that's really effective, you know, they seem to be excited about it. And, you know,
yeah.
one gets it, and then the other ones sort of quickly want it.
You know, it's fascinating, because the concept, I can see where brands would have to really buy into this idea that you're selling at a discount, but you're monetizing something you might give away anyway as part of a promotion, and you're able to get data on everyone who's expressed an interest in bidding. Therefore, you have an opportunity to reach them in a very different way than you would if you just put a fancy picture of a car or a bike or a watch on the screen that people don't see because they're standing in line getting a beer.
Mm. You can actually participate, like, in the line for a beer as well, or even in the bathroom.
Because of the app.
Yeah, because the app. It's all synced. Everything that happens on the mobile happens on the video board as well. So, no matter where you are in the venue, you can have the same experience.
So you mentioned the 49ers. You talked about the Phoenix Suns. Do you go into particular geographies and try to sign up all the teams that are there?
No. Initially, we just started. We're a startup, so it was just like, get on the phones and call everyone.
Right.
You know, you get the no, and then you get the one yes. And so,
right.
For some reason, Phoenix has really shown up for us. Like, we went live in the US at the Cactus League here in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
With Seattle Mariners, Kansas City Royals, and Texas Rangers over a Friday, Saturday. And then the Suns showed up. So, you know, there's something magical in the air about Phoenix, so, yeah, love the place.
So I guess in the minute we have left, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have a favorite sport?
Basketball.
Basketball, okay. I was going to ask you if you were a Patriots fan. Are you a Celtics fan? Probably not, right?
I'm probably a Warriors fan, if anything, being that I landed in San Francisco. And that's when I first really got introduced to the basketball, and I love the speed of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I do really appreciate the tactics of football, and obviously the Patriots, a very good team.
Well, thank you, Brendan. Thank you for that nod. That was politically correct to say. No, I mean I agree with you. I think the strategy of football makes it a very exciting game. And talk about the last few seconds. Where a lot of things happen. I mean, certainly in some of the make or break games, it comes down to the last few seconds, just like it often does in some of your auctions. Well, Brendan, it was really interesting to get to know you and the business and the momentum that you've gathered in a relatively short period of time. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate your time. And it was just great to chat and share a bit about the business and what we're up to.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you at Gillette sometime soon. Gillette Stadium, that is. The home of the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Watch this space.
Watch this space. All right. Thanks again, Brendan. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Karen.
Have a good rest of the day. Good weekend. Bye-bye now.
You too. Bye.